Welcome to a special edition of the what is it? What podcast is it, Joe Matt? So weekly daily fantasy football podcast.
Nailed it.
I am coming live from the San Diego airport. That is not a joke. I've been on vacation this week. Joe was on vacation last week, so we apologize for this podcast being so late in the week, but we wanted to make sure we got it out before the games kick off tomorrow. So literally, I appreciate Joe getting up early to do this, and I'm doing a podcast in the airport before I board my flight back to Atlanta. I do
Dedicate.
apologize. It's dedication. It's also really just it was the only time we can do it. But if you hear announcements over the PA, we apologize, but it's just going to happen. We'll get right into it because again, I don't know how much time we got here. We give three players at each position: quarterback, running back, wide receiver, flex, and tight end. We give you a high tier, medium tier, and low tier. Starting with the quarterbacks, I love Tom Brady this week, Joe, at 6,900. He looked so good week one versus Dallas, which I'm not saying that's a good defense by any means, but he did a good job of using all of his weapons. He hit Godwin a bunch, he hit Brown a bunch. Gronk had a phenomenal game. We actually brought him up on the podcast week one, or maybe that was a preview podcast, but they did all this without Evans really doing anything. And he gets an Atlanta D that, I mean, Jalen Hurts looked as good as he possibly could in week one. He was 27 of 35, three for 264, three touchdowns. He seemed to be able to do whatever he wanted to in that second half. And I would love to say the Falcons bounced back, but under a new D coordinator, they're going to be blitzing a lot. And when you blitz Tom Brady, you normally pay. I think the Bucs roll. I think their offense has several big plays against my Falcons. And at 6,900, you're looking at a guy who I really think right now his floor is probably 250 and two, three touchdowns. And at 6,900, I'll take that.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Brady came through for me last week. I expect him to come through for you this week, although obviously bittersweet against your Falcons. My top tier, Russell Wilson. He's up against the Titans. He is 7,500. Last week, he scored 27.1 points on only 23 attempts and five runs. That's obviously crazy efficiency. It might sound unsustainable, but against, I don't think that's true. Kyler Murray put up 34 points, 32 attempts and five runs. Most defense was good last year. I expect them to be pretty solid this year. Tennessee was 30th in DVOA against the pass last season. They did not look any better in week one. I a problem for Tennessee all year, and if your pass is a problem, you don't want to face Russell Wilson.
And we kind of called the Derrick Henry thing, right? Like, if their defense is going to be this bad,
Yeah.
it's only a certain game script where he's going to be the fantasy stud he has been. Because they need to be up for him to be what he is. And if their defense is this bad, I had a lot of people call him, oh, man, look at how great Kyler Murray looks. And it's like, we saw this last year down the stretch. If you needed a big performance as a quarterback or receiver, you wanted Tennessee on your schedule. And that continued week one. Of this year, which is good. We like picking on trends. My second play is not normally, I normally try to spread them out a little bit more, but I had to go with Herbert as well. He's 6,700 versus Dallas. We talked about how great Brady looked. Herbert was, in my opinion, really unlucky to only score 18 points in his first game. I think he had hit seven different receivers by halftime, had a dozen completions of 15 yards or more, ended the game with 337 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. But there were three bad drops by his talented receiving duo that really cost him even bigger numbers. Again, the Cowboys D looked awful in week one versus the pass. Herbert has the ability to attack the secondary of Dallas in a very similar fashion. And I was really impressed with San Diego, or excuse me, Los Angeles, just in the win in general. Herbert, I thought, for having a bad game was great. And that's a good sign for him if he's your fantasy quarterback this year.
Yeah. As much as we might be a little lower on the Washington defense after we saw on Thursday night, I still better than the Dallas Cowboys. So you get the Dallas Cowboys, you got to feel good. I'm just sticking with the exact same game. I got Ryan Tannehill at Seattle, 6,300. Tannehill had a rough game last week. He only threw for 212 yards, committed three turnovers, but I like the bounce back potential in this one. Carson, 19.3 points on 38 passes last week against the Seattle team. And I expect Tannehill to see more volume. I mean, like I said, I think they're going to be losing most of this game, so they're going to have to pass. And I think he has bigger upset Wentz, who put up that 19 points, because Carson Wentz does not have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones to throw to. So if Tannehill is throwing 35, 40 times, I like the potential 20-plus points this week.
So you saw Julio got called out, right?
Oh, well, shit. Well,
I'm just talking about from Vabor. I mean, they could end up being a good thing. It just was really interesting. I missed it. I didn't see it on SportsCenter, I guess because they got killed and it's the Tennessee Titans. But apparently he was called out. There was a really bad penalty that he had. It was unsportsmanlike. And Vrabel, like, just ripped him to shreds in the media. And Julio's never had that. Like, I don't ever remember Atlanta. And I'm so interested to see
how he responds. A zero-issue guy, as far as I remember. You would know better than me. But
no, I mean, you really never heard a peep out of Julio. So I'm very interested to see. Like, he was somebody I almost had on my list this week. But I don't know how he's going to react to that. But I just thought it was interesting. There's already issues. Like, the Tennessee team could be the big fall-off playoff team this year.
I mean that I've been thinking this whole time. Everyone on IBN was hitting that over when RC posted theirs. I was like, no, this is an easy under. We'll see.
So we've got one more, the lower tier guy. And I this is probably my favorite play. Joe Burrow, 5,800 at Chicago. He looked great. He's now thrown 10 touchdowns over his last five games he started. The line looked better than it did last season. He's already had a connection with his former college teammate, Jamar Chase. And Matt Stafford, the Rams, threw all over the Bears secondary. Burrow at 5,800 is, in my opinion, a really good price, especially in a game where Burrow is forced to throw more than 27 times in four quarters and overtime. I think the Bears are going to have a little bit more success stopping Montgomery, maybe even getting a lead early, and that's going to make Burrow throw more and get in the Minnesota game, which they were in control pretty much the entire second half. All these things are good when you're getting Joe Burrow at 5,800.
Yeah, my only question in any game is, can they protect Burrow? And as long as they do, I think he and that receiving core are going to produce. My lower tier guy, Water at Jacksonville for 5,400. His 20.5 points against my Giants doesn't seem as impressive after Taylor Heineke put up similar numbers. But even without Jerry Jeudy, Jacksonville is an easier opponent than my Giants. Jacksonville's just that bad on defense. Tyrod Taylor decimated 21 yards and two touchdowns through the air, another 40 on the ground. I don't expect Teddy Bridgewater to run for 40 yards. Easily put up similar passing numbers because this truly is. I mean, it seemed like that game was a battle between team in the NFL, and Houston won pretty decidedly, I felt like. So give me anybody probably the entire rest of the season.
Bill Simmons would be screaming the Ewing theory right now. You know, Houston's gotten rid of, what, every big player that they have over the last four or five seasons. When they
the ultimate Ewing theory.
Yeah, and it's like they come out and then just had to remind everyone it was the Jaguars. I love that play. I forgot that Taylor threw for that much yardage. I think Tyrod Taylor is a good quarterback. I was banging the Brandon Cooks drum last week, but yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that is definitely a reason to think Teddy can get it done. Moving on to the running backs, David Montgomery, 6,100 versus Cincy is my first one. He's my top tier. Since week 12 of 2020, Montgomery has rushed for 706 yards. That's 100 yards per game. He's had 100 yards or more in four of his last seven, and he's the featured back who gets the most of the goal line work as well. Since he did well against Dalvin Cook at home, but I think Montgomery has upside whether Dalton or Fields is brought in this game. He rushed for 100 yards against a Rams defense, which is a good one, with Dalton. And in any game that Dalton plays, they're going to try to establish a run. They're going to try to limit possessions. I mean, they're not going to want to get into shootouts with Dalton. And obviously, if Fields ends up starting or gets brought in, he has the ability to run, stretch the field. I just see causing Montgomery's value to soar. Same thing for the receiving core. And then, I mean, the other thing is just who do you trust in this range? James Robinson's 300 more. He didn't look good. Najee Harris, 200 more. That's, again, a scare. I told you guys with the rookie. Ezekiel Elliott's $100 more. If you're telling me that I can get a guy cheaper than those names above, and he's been consistently producing, And you know he's going to be a focal point in the offense, and it's not an awful matchup. I really like David Montgomery at 6,100.
Yeah, it's funny because I believe we have a Chicago Bear at every position spot. And just think about how much better we'd feel about them if Justin Fields was out there.
It's exactly.
Like, we like them now, so I don't know what the hell Matt Nagy's doing. But my top-tier guy this week is Aaron Jones. He's up against Detroit. He's 6,800. This might be my favorite play of the entire week. The Packers collapsed last week. Saints figuratively sidelined Aaron Jones for most of that game, and then literally in the fourth quarter. But I think Green Bay comes back in a big way in this game. I mean, if they better, it's against the Lions. But I think the shitty play last week helps us this week because now, yeah, Aaron Jones 800, even though he's facing an absolute run defense. I know I detailed it thoroughly last week. Say they were bottom six in like five of the key metrics at when you look at run defense, including dead last in rushing touchdowns allowed. Elijah
Mitchell. You always say, Joe, right? That rushing usually year to year is pretty consistent. Unlike passing, where there could be big jumps, a rushing defense is usually going to be year to year pretty consistent.
You usually have to really build over time. And I mean, Elijah Mitchell, first game of his NFL career, 104 yards and a touchdown. I think that's
Trey Sermon.
So yeah, that definitely burned up plenty of other people. But I think that's Aaron Jones's floor is like 100 yards and a touchdown. I think that's the minimum you're going to get here. I wouldn't be surprised looking at 150 plus and multiple touchdowns.
Yeah, don't forget, that was a preseason game. I mean, seriously, that had to be so weird to be playing in a stadium that is neither one of your homes. There was maybe 10,000 people there max. Not saying they didn't get smoked, but it just, you know, a lot of people are going crazy over nothing for that. The Packers will be fine.
Looked like shit last year against the Saints week exactly. One, and that worked out okay.
Exactly. Damian Harris is my mid-tier, 5,400 at the Jets. He ran 23 times for exactly 100 yards in week one versus the Dolphins. He did have a very costly fumble, but we won't talk about that. He saw 23 of the 30 rushing carries in week one, which is good. He even caught two passes for 17 yards. That's even better. The Jets did a decent job containing McCaffrey on the ground, but the Pats have one of the best lines in the league. They're going to be more committed to running the ball than Carolina was. They just are. They have a rookie quarterback. Harris is the unquestioned back in week one. I mean, again, if he just has a similar game with a touchdown, he's going to have a 20-plus point game. And, again, you're getting him at $5,400. I think the Jets' defense stinks. I was not impressed by Carolina's offense, which I actually thought was going to be really good. And, again, the Patriots are going to win this game. They're probably going to be up. And I could see them running Harris at least until he gets 15, 20 points. At that point, if he gets out of hand, yeah, he may not play late in the third or the fourth quarter. But I love Damian Harris at 54. And I just think it's almost a guarantee he is going to score in this game.
Yeah, I'd say the only way that he doesn't this game is if he has another – if he has an early fumble this time and gets
– Well, it helps, though, when Stevenson, right, fumbles on his second carry and he does not get a carry the rest of the game. So he did get 23 carries, you know, to where Stevenson got two. So I just think he's got a lot more room than it looks like. I don't even know if they need to run him that much is the question. But either way, this is such a good matchup and a good price. No.
Yeah, I love it. Damian Harris, great play. My mid-tier, I believe what you said was more expensive than your high tier, which is Najee Harris against the Raiders at 6,300. I guess I'm running backs too disappointed in week one. Although, if you listened to our rookie podcast, you'd know Steelers offensive line, not very good. I think we should all realize at this point Ben Roethlisberger is mediocre.
Their defense is great, though. We found that out, right?
The defense is as good as they looked last year. That seems to have carried over. They're still fantastic. The good news for Najee Harris is he's not facing the Buffalo Bills, who really spent all offseason loading up on their defensive line. So easier sledding here against the Raiders, who gave up 122 touchdowns to Ravens running backs last week. And, I mean, Harris looks like he's going to be a volume king this year. He was the only Steeler to carry the ball last week, and he had three targets. I just think, you know, even if it's not always going to be, you know, the only other really good players on that team are the wide receivers. But I just think if he's getting the ball 20 times a game, I mean, give me anybody 20 times a game against the Raiders.
Especially at that price.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm probably steering clear of the high running backs this week because, I mean, I love all the picks we've thrown out so far on the mid and lower end.
It is. I mean, it costs a lot to put a McCaffrey or even a Cook in your lineup. It's gotten kind of outrageous. My lower tier guy is the guy we brought last week. I'm bringing him back, Chase Edmonds. He was the starting back in week one. He finished with 12 carries, 4 receptions, scoring double figures. He now faces a Minnesota D that was just absolutely shredded by Joe Mixon, like absolutely shredded. Edmonds has some of the same skills that Mixon has. Arizona showed a commitment to running the ball with Edmonds and Connors week one. It paid huge dividends as Murray exploded. And I just, if Edmonds is going to start games and you know he's going to get like that 15-touch mark, I'm going to take him every week until they make him at least 5,500, 5,600 because he's such a good receiving back that he's got a very low floor for this price tag. And if he gets hits a big home run, touchdown run, which we have talked about, he can anywhere at any time. Now you're getting a real bargain at 4,900. I love Chase Edmonds still at this price.
Yeah, I continue to be surprised by where they have him priced. I'm with you all the way. I'm going to steer into the big surprise, Elijah Mitchell. I'm riding 1,000 at Philadelphia. He was a very good reminder to always check if there have been any surprise inactives a half hour before game start. I did not. And so Trey Sermon gave me 0 points. So please do that. If you were smart enough to do that and you, then you probably made some money last week. The big worry here, obviously, is and goes full Belichick with his running backs. And we never know who's playing week to week. I do think that's not an unfounded fear. Shanahan's had his own juggling throughout the years. But I don't expect Mitchell to disappear anytime soon. You know, Mostert's out for the year. Jamichael Hasty was an undrafted free agent last year who averaged 3.8 yards per carry. And he only saw 2 touches to Mitchell's 19 last week. So he's a huge threat. It all comes down to will and usurp Mitchell. I mean, he was drafted 3 earlier. So, you know, I would probably say Sermon's probably the return bet still. But I do think it's worth outsiders back cast projections for rookie running backs. Had Mitchell as the better pro, largely because he runs in the 4.3s, which also makes him kind of the obvious replacement for Mostert in this offense, where Sermon was in the mid to high 4.5s. So even though I'm not sure I'd take Mitchell over, I do think in the here and now, I think a pretty safe bet. Not be as easy to run on as the Lions, as, you know, again, the Lions suck. But they 170 total yards to the Falcons running backs last week.
Patterson was great.
Yeah, it was. That was kind of one of the nice surprises for you, I'm sure. One of the few.
The only.
So, yeah. I think there's still plenty of room, especially, again, it's Niners running back. No one's better at scheming the run game than Shanahan. So, if Mitchell's getting just 15 touches, I like him at 5,000. And I think he has the potential to see more.
Yeah, I also like Sermon. I'll be that sucker again at 4,000. If he is activated and they say he's going to play, I love Sermon at that price. Because, again, he's a guy that they put capital in for really cheap. So he's in a couple of my lineups again this week. I'm going to I did luckily make the adjustments, but unfortunately I didn't make that adjustment, which I discussed with a friend of mine, but I didn't do it. Moving on to the wide receivers, anybody who listened last year knows I love some Keenan Allen. He is 7,000 versus Dallas. Allen in week one was targeted 13 times, turned into 9 receptions, 100 yards, 22 points. That's standard Keenan Allen stuff in fantasy. In Allen's last 6 full games played with Herbert at quarterback, he has 70 targets, 48 receptions, 524 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That's almost 12 targets and 8 receptions per game. Dallas secondary is still very suspect. We saw you know, what happened last week where Tampa Bay just torched this offense. And I think the same can be said with Williams, who I like as well. He's 2,000 cheaper, but I just think Allen is a better play. His floor is honestly 12 to 15 points. And again, just look at the receivers that went off. It was Godwin. It was Brown. Those are guys that are going to run more Keenan Allen routes. And the Mike Williams, who is similar to a Mike Evans, not saying he can't go off, but I just, again, I think Allen is in a 20 to 30 point, and I almost think his floor is 15 to 20 to points. I love Keenan Allen, $7,000, especially with what some of the receivers above him are.
Oh, yeah, I 100% co-signed this one. Honestly, when you sent me your list, I just changed some of my wide receivers because I was like, I don't want to just pick the exact same ones, especially since I once again did not pick any flexes. But 100% co-sign Keenan Allen. He's my favorite. But if you need to go a little bit more, I really like A.J. Brown at Seattle for 6,900. I mean, I also like the Seattle wide receivers, but they're more expensive.
Right.
So Brown had 8 targets last week. And again, I think he's going to be seeing more consistently high targets this year because they're going to have to pass. That was the 11th time in his career he's had 8 targets. In 8 of 11 games, including last week, he scored a touchdown. And in 6 of them, he broke 100 yards.
That's ridiculous.
If he's seeing the target, like, he's really one of
this guy can be.
Seriously, it's like most players, their touchdowns kind of wax and wane. I think every year it's like you look at his targets, you're like, he can't score any touchdowns again. Like, it's just, but he's just one of those rare guys who finds the end zone. So, you know, lucky for us, he only had 9 yards last week, so that actually dropped him 200 in value. And I think he makes up for it this week with, you know, I think we're seeing a touchdown and we're probably seeing 100 if they throw as much as I think they're going to have to.
I love it. Another one of our guys I constantly hit, Allen Robinson, 6,200 versus Cincy. There's a lot of people that are down on Robinson this year before the performance in week one. And then now particularly after week one with Dalton, a quarterback, he had 35 yards, 0 touchdowns. That's validation for their opinion on Robinson, who I was high on. And I look at it completely differently. He still saw 11 targets in a game that saw him get 1 target in the fourth quarter. So he had 10 targets for through the first 3 quarters. He was covered almost the entire game by the best corner in football, Jalen Ramsey. So now he faces a much easier task against the Cincy secondary. There's a chance Fields play, which, again, I think off volume alone, Robinson is a very low-priced player. He has huge potential to score 20, 30 points in his last 8 meaningful games, and none have been with a better-than-average quarterback. He's seen 80 targets, 56 receptions. I'm getting a number one target who averages 10 targets, 7 receptions over his last 8 games, and there is a chance Fields plays. I like Robinson, Mooney, and Montgomery, but they all could get a big-time hit if Fields comes in. And, I mean, after what we saw in week one, people are going to think Nagy and the Bears organization is a joke if you don't go to Fields, or at least start using him in more packages, because their offense looked awful. And they have this bright young player when in other situations you do have rookie quarterback starting. So I love Allen Robinson at 6,200 just on the volume alone. And then you get the bonus of potentially it being Fields' first game that he sees action in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw this. I think it was during the broadcast or maybe it was on Twitter afterwards, but they showed like Allen Robinson's route and there's just like nothing downfield. And I think people are probably overreacting to that. Obviously part of it is Andy Dalton, which, again, that's why you should start Justin Fields. But that's also, again, like you said, it's Jalen Ramsey. The Rams' defense for years has been designed to take away the big play. The Bengals are not the Rams. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want Allen Robinson on your team this week. Another guy that I'm surprised at is Cooper Kupp at 6,000 at Indy. That just seems wildly undervalued to me. Averaged nearly 6 receptions a game over the last 2 seasons. So again, DraftKings is PPR, 3 points right there. I think one of the reasons is he only scored 3 touchdowns last year, but he scored 16 in the 24 games prior to last season in his previous 2 years. So it's not like he can't find the end zone. And I also think people are underestimating offense is going to be. They were absolutely insane. I think the Bears looked a little lost on the back end, to be sure.
Yeah, but what do we talk about, right, Joe? You have a genius play caller, you know, offensive mind, and now he has a legit quarterback. Like, this is no offense to Jared Goff, but I'm talking about somebody who can really expand that offense because he can make any throw at any time. And they showed it, 20 of 27. Like, we all thought 300 yards, three touchdowns would be a surprise. To do it on 27 throws and 20 completions, that's scary.
Yeah, they took one sack. They averaged, so counting the sack, so just every time Stafford dropped back to pass, they averaged 11 and a half yards per drop back.
Yeah, so we'll take that.
Yeah, we'll definitely take that. And Kupp was the highlight of the passing game. He scored 26 points while having as many targets as the next two Rams. And now he faces this allowed Tyler Lockett, also the slot guy, 29.1 on only 5 targets. So I honestly, I'm lost as to why Cooper Kupp is 6,000. I think Robert Woods is pretty solid. I think he's at 5,700. But considering what Lockett did against the Colts, I really love Kupp this week.
That's, you just took the word. He's my middle tier flex for the exact same reason. I mean, I there's not really much else to say other than just that Stafford's the kind of guy that's going to unlock this guy. And I mean, he could end up having a monster, monster season. And again, the guys around that, other than maybe Brandon Cooks, who I don't think his quarterback's as good, you're not going to get a guy that you know is going to be this involved in the offense, going to get that many targets. Love that play. I also love my bottom tier, which is Ja'Marr Chase, 5,000 at Chicago. I'm still so salty about not including Chase in my plays last week. I did play Higgins, and I mentioned I wasn't as worried about Chase's bad preseason as some. Remember, he didn't play in all of 2020. Also, remember, he had an unbelievable connection with his quarterback, Joe Burrow. Chase was my favorite player in the draft, and he burned immediately the Minnesota secondary for 5 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown. On only 7 targets, the entire Bengals offense feasted, and this was with them ahead most of the game, especially the entire second half. I can't wait to have these guys in a game that they get down early. Chicago looked bad week 1 against the Rams. We talked about that earlier, particularly against the pass. I just think it's less likely to see Mixon get as many rush attempts in this game. And for all those reasons, Chase is just only 5,000. And we've already seen what he can do. You're getting a top receiver talent at 5,000 with a quarterback who can throw and an offense that we know likes to throw the ball. I think this is a great matchup. Ja'Marr Chase, 5,000 at Chicago.
I mean, yeah, we have similar thought processes on this because I'm going T. Higgins at Chicago, 5,400. I think both of these guys are good plays. Like you said, they both put up good game, and Chase, very good game. And that was with very little volume. So I think, you know, my expectation is obviously that Cincinnati will not just hold leads and
exactly
they will have to throw more. I counted it up. So ignoring the injured guys that DraftKings lists for some reason, there are 34 receivers ahead of Higgins and there are 38 ahead of Chase. I don't understand that at all. Higgins last week, like I said, we loved him last week. You know, he delivered 15.8 points for on a $4,700 investment. I'll take that every time.
Happy with it.
His 8th straight double-digit scoring game that he's played with a healthy Burrow. Like, if you ignore the first 2 weeks of his NFL career, which is also the first every game that Joe Burrow has finished the game, Higgins has put up double-digit points. Like, that consistency is insane, especially for a guy who's only at 5,400.
Well, but, and you know, he's got now a guy on the other side of the field, right, that is also going to give defenses problems, which is just going to make it easier for Higgins.
You can't shift to just focus on one guy on this team because they're both good. I don't remember what Tyler Boyd's price is. He could be a good play this week. I know Chicago's slot problem last week, as we saw with Cooper Kupp. So, the way the Bears looked last week on defense, I don't see any reason why we want to get off this Bengals passing game. There's a reason Burrow, Higgins, and Chase made it combined here. So,
Yep.
I love all those guys.
All right, moving on to the tight end. I can't believe, again, this is the other one I'm salty about. Gronk, 4,700 versus Atlanta. I mentioned to Joe on the final preview podcast that there's been a lot of buzz about Gronk being back. He looked better running, blocking, receiving than his first year in Tampa, which, remember, was after a lengthy retirement. He saw 8 targets in week 1 this year, 8 receptions, 2 touchdowns, 90 yards. I mean, that's vintage Brady and Gronk. Again, my Falcons looked awful on defense in week 1. And don't look now, but Gronk has scored 9 touchdowns in his last 12 games. The Falcons last week gave up 6 receptions on 7 targets for 80 yards and a touchdown to tight ends. I have a feeling Gronk is going to score again, and he has the potential to have a monster game against Atlanta in his home opener. Or excuse me, their second straight home game. But I love Gronk at 4,700. I actually like him as a flex this week too, and not just as a tight end if you're trying to save money.
Yeah, I mean – legitimately looked like vintage Gronk. So as long as he remains healthy, I think it's fine to ride the Gronk train. No reason not to. I'm just going back to the well here. Hockenson at 5,500.
It was great call last week, yeah.
Number 3 tight end on DraftKings last week. Narrowly edged out Kelsey by his 11 targets were more than
but he
Kittle
was like 4,000 cheaper than this top guy. I mean, it was a big difference.
Exactly. His 11 targets were more than Kittle and Andrews saw combined last week. I think his days of being priced under 6,000 are pretty numbered here. And all the more facing an angry Green Bay team that's going to force the Lions into another pass-heavy game plan. So I'm all in on TJ Hawkins again.
I completely co-sign on that. Tyler Higbee, who Joe has mentioned at 4,100, is my mid-tier. Joe made a brilliant case in our 2021 season preview that Higbee had the best chance to be the breakout tight end this year. His case was pretty simple, that Everett is now in Seattle. They got nearly identical targets. McVay loves throwing to tight ends, and Joe suspected Higbee would get a majority of both of their targets. In late 2019, Everett was injured. He missed the final 5 games. In those games, Higbee led the league in receiving. He led the league in receiving for that stretch. Saw 12 targets a game and went over 100 yards in 4 or 5. Week 1 this year, Higbee caught 5 of 6 targets for 68. I know you're probably thinking nothing special, but for week 1 route percentage for tight ends, Higbee was first at 96%. Last year, he was at 53%, and that was 31st in the league. Higbee was first this after week 1. Second was Logan Thomas at 92%. Kelsey was third at 85%. Hockenson, Joe just mentioned, was fourth at 84%. And Pitts was fifth at 79%. That means that Higbee is going to be a focal part of the passing attack and is going to get a ton of opportunities for targets at tight end. And I actually think that his game in week 1 is sort of his floor most weeks. Higbee, I think, is a great play. If you have a chance to trade for him in season-long leagues, do it now. He is going to be a beast this year. And I can't believe he's only 4,100.
Yeah, God bless Sean up with the usage for Higbee and Daryl Henderson, because I have them on team. So let's keep it riding, McVay. My mid-tier is Noah Fant. Jacksonville for 4,200. The Jags were one of the worst defenses against tight ends last year. And in week 1, they allowed Pharaoh Cooper to go for 4 catches for 67 yards, 16 receptions over his previous 3 seasons in the league. Fant put up 6 for 62 last week against the Giants. Judy's absence freeing up even more targets. I feel even better about this than I would normally. I love Teddy Bridgewater. Like, if you pair Bridgewater and Fant, that's 9,000.
Yeah, that's it.
9,600 on your tight end. That frees you up to do a lot of stuff with your other spots.
You have a legit number one target. I think Fant is going to be the number one target moving forward. I just do. Hayden Hurst, my low tier, 3,800 at Tampa. If you watch the Falcons week 1, again, I apologize. The offense was horrible. With the line issues, I think there will be even more 2 tight end sets though in week 2, because they're actually facing another really good pass rush in Tampa Bay. Pitts had 8 targets. Hurst had 4. Hurst caught all four of his for 28 yards. So both tight ends, I mean, they saw 12 targets. If the line's bad, we're going to be throwing it quickly. It's going to be more underneath throws. That's good for Hurts and Pitts. Dallas did have some success against the Buck B by attacking the tight ends. The Cowboys duo caught 9 passes on 10 targets for 65 yards. The Falcon duo, in my opinion, is much more talented than Dallas's. I think the Falcons are in trouble week two, but I think that offense is going to look better and they're going to get a lot of opportunities. So again, if you're just say you have 3,800 or less, and you need to squeeze a player in there. Hayden Hurst, I actually think he may score this week. It would not surprise me at all. I think he could get the double figures pretty easily as well. And again, he's only 3,800. Hayden Hurst is my low tier.
That because, I mean, you look at Tampa Bay. You know, if Lavonte David is going to be helping out on Pitts, then that's just freeing Hurst up even more.
Yep.
My lower tier guy is Cole Kmet. He's playing Cincinnati. He's a 37. Graham is still in Chicago, but Kmet the ghost Graham. Kmet had 7 targets to Graham's 2 last week. I think that's going to be the norm this year. I think Jimmy Graham's done. Cole Kmet looks pretty good.
Yep.
The Bengals. In yards allowed to tight ends last year. Again, we expect the Bengals at points. That's why we're also riding the Bears. It's going to be really interesting to see if this blows up on us, just going all in on a Bengals Bears. But here we are.
In fantasy, it's the best place to do it.
That's true. I don't know. Again, all these guys are not priced very high. So that's why we feel good about it. Cole Kmet, 3,700. That was... to have to throw.
All right, so real quickly, do flex. I did 3 flex. Joe did not, and then we're gonna do. Joe's got 3 defense. I did not, and we'll be out of here. So Cooper Kupp is my middle tier. Joe already talked about him. I don't have to go over that. My top tier is DeAndre Hopkins at 8,000 versus Minnesota. Guys, like, do not overthink this. The Vikings secondary struggles against Jamar Chase week 1. I mean, you just think they're not going to struggle against Hopkins. And week 1, Hopkins was great, caught 6 of 8 passes for 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. His performance was limited by how well Kirk and Moore played, which they both played well. I don't expect them to play that well. Kirk had, I think, 2 touchdowns on 2 catches. When Murray is healthy, Hopkins is a must play week in and week out. And again, he's only 8,000. I think that's – I would much rather have Hopkins at 8,000 than take any of the backs at 8,000 or more. So – and then the other guy, it's a low tier. It's a really cheap play, but I really do like it. It's Hunter Renfrow, 3,600 at Pittsburgh. He is in many ways the poor man's Cole Beasley. Beasley had 8 reception on 13 targets against the Steelers D in week 1. Renfrow caught 6 of his 9 targets in week 1 himself. I think he's a lot for double digits in points this week in fantasy. I think he has potential for a big game, and I'm pretty much guaranteeing he's going to score at least 10 points or more at 3,600. I love Hunter Renfrow as my low-tier flex. Joe, why don't you – if you got anything to say about those two guys, and if not, just get into your defenses.
I love the Renfrow call. I didn't even thought about that one. That's a good one. And then, obviously, like you said, Hopkins with Murray, I'm in. I'll also throw out don't be afraid to hit on Davante Adams this week. I expect he and Rodgers are super motivated, and Jeffrey Okuda's already out for the season for the Lions, like that defense level. So don't be afraid to go there either. But like I said, I think mix it up
Jimmy
on the wide.
Jimmy G was moving the ball up and down the field.
Yeah,
that's all you need.
I would mix it up at wide receiver with some highs, some like mid and low. But running back, I think you can save some money there, and then spend more on those wide receivers if you want to. Defense, my high end. I doubled up on high end because this is an easy one. It's the Broncos at the Jags. It's the Pats against the Jets. Vic Fangio and Bill Belichick against rookie QBs. Like, that's all I need. Go. Then the other one, my mid and low tier are from the same game. It's New Orleans and Carolina. You know, the Saints just destroyed Aaron Rodgers. Now they get Sam Darnold and they're only 3,100. You got to feel pretty good about that. And then for Carolina, they're 2,700. Jameis obviously looked fantastic last, but he's still Jameis. I don't think the turnover is just going to disappear here. And while you have to take it with a pretty heavy grain of salt since it came against the Jets, the Panthers had 6 sacks last week, which tied the Cardinals for the lead in the end. Only the Broncos held opposing running backs to fewer yards per carry. This looks – I think this is a pretty frisky defense. And if you're giving me a defense to pressure the QB and maybe limit the run game and just put all – I got to feel good about that.
What about Cleveland? You know, they're getting Houston at home. Houston obviously looked great on offense last week. And the Browns, I know, got scored on, but they're playing the friggin' Chiefs. I thought that their defense looked really well against the Chiefs. Like,
right, that almost doesn't count.
So, I mean, do you think at 3,500, that was the only one I had circled, was Cleveland at home versus Houston?
Cleveland, I mean, I like it. I'm with you. I do think Tim Kelly is an underrated offensive coordinator, and you saw how creatively they use the players that he pick one.
Right.
But obviously, Cleveland has now seen that footage. They've got a lot of talent on that defensive line. Yeah, I would feel perfectly happy starting Cleveland this week at 3,500 as well.
Awesome. Well, Joe, I appreciate you doing this. Like I said, sorry. I hope the sound quality is okay since we're in the airport. But this has been Keith Fleming, Joe Matz, for the weekly Daily Fantasy Football Podcast on the IB Sports Podcast Network. And we'll get this up immediately. Thanks, Joe.